You got your Bibles, you got your phone app on, then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 1. We are going to start a series through the book of Exodus, and from now until Advent actually, so until the first Sunday of December. But it's such an appropriate book to head us into that Advent season, to understand why Jesus came and the reason for it. And so we look at this great story in Exodus that covers a great sweep of the history of the Hebrew people. And of course, we encounter right at the heart of it the character of Moses. And so we're just going to walk through this story. We can't do all of it, but over the next 8 weeks, we'll be touching different parts of this story as we unfold God's continuing journey with us as his people. And so we're just going to start in Exodus chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 8, and then we'll be hitting some other passages during what I've prepared for us today as well. So Exodus 1, verses 1 to 8. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all, and Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. A new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing. 400 years to this point when Joseph meant nothing. Keep your Bibles open, and we'll be digging in a little bit more to into chapters 1 and 2 as well. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of hearing a song, and you have that feeling that you've heard it before. Have you had that sort of experience? Because after all songs sound the same, don't they? Especially modern songs. You listen to a modern song, and it just sounds like their last modern song, doesn't it? And whether you're into hip-hop or garage or grunge or rock or roll or both of those together, I don't know which one you're into, but I guess sometimes they seem to sound the same, don't they? In fact, Ed Sheeran, do you know who Ed Sheeran is, by the way? Half of you. Okay, well, this is for half of you. Ed Sheeran was recently taken to court accused of copying a song by Marvin Gaye. Have you heard of Marvin Gaye? 70% of you, that's not bad at all. Now, Sheeran's song was Thinking Out Loud, and it was felt to have exactly the same chord progression. Do you know it? You could come and sing it. Okay. It is only a second time in church, perhaps that's a bit too soon. In our church, anyway. They thought that Thinking Out Loud, Sheeran's hit song, had the same chord progression as Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Now, that would be a good song to sing on a Sunday morning, wouldn't it? So we have it next week? Let's Get It On. Yeah, now I know all of you are going to rush to YouTube this afternoon and listen. Now, it's always surprised me that this doesn't happen more often. Does it surprise you as well? Because there's only 12 musical notes, aren't there? That's all there are. If you're not a musician, I assure you, there are just 12 notes. I could get Stephen to come and... Stephen, come and play all 12 notes for us, will you? You know, somewhere. And so people who don't understand this can understand. These are the 12 notes that there are. That is it. That's it. Stop there. Yes. That's so frustrating, isn't it? When it doesn't quite resolve it, yeah? So those are... Anyway, Stephen, thanks very much. We'll leave the tension. 12 notes. That's all we've got. And there are different pitches, I agree, but how come there are so many songs that we get to hear? And every new song doesn't get taken to court because it's the same as the other. In fact, Ed Sheeran won his case, or the case brought against him, that the jury found that he hadn't copied the same chord progression, that copyright wasn't infringed in that case. Now, what happens when you read the Bible? Do you get a sense that you've read it before? Not because you have read it before, but what you're reading seems so familiar to you. So whether you're reading it in Genesis or in Revelation or in Haggai or 1 Peter, there's something about it that you think, I think I've read this before. It seems so familiar, this story that I'm reading. That what God is saying to us and wants us to understand, he keeps saying to us in so many different ways until we actually get it. But also because whenever we read this story, there are echoes of it in our own life anyway. We've already been through something similar ourselves. Despite the fact that we're thousands of years since some of it was written and countless generations from when it first happened, somehow it resonates deeply in our lives as well. And no matter that Exodus took place all those years ago, way before most of you were born, when you read it, you've heard it before. It's part of your story. Why? Well, because simply it's the story that God continues to write throughout all generations. And we are part of it now at this particular point. But it is the same story. God's plans and purposes for his creation right from the very beginning and right to beyond the very end include you and me in it. We're part of what he's doing right now. I was going to say right here, right now, but that's another song that we'll have another time. Do you know that song? Right here, right now. I'm not going to sing it to you. So wherever you are and whatever you do and whoever you are on the pages of the story that God is writing. You know, constantly it feels like we're in this, what is known as a liminal space. It's one of my favorite words, liminal space. The past is gone. The future is still to come. But we stand as the bridge between the two. It's called the present, isn't it, of course? And it's called the present for a very real reason, because it's God's gift to us. This is God's gift. This moment and the next moment that we're part of is God's gift to us to be part of this ongoing story that he is gradually unfolding. Between our experiences and circumstances and generations and historic happenings, we get to be part of his story. And for all time, God is speaking this story over us. Beautiful verse in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 uses a slightly different image. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight on you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I love this verse. He will rejoice over you with singing. He's got a song to sing over you. He's got a song that is so familiar to you that you hear it as an echo, as a whisper, and he invites you to continue that story, to continue that song that he has started. And that's his call to us in our generation, just as it was the call to the people in the Exodus generation as well. Join this mighty chorus, which the morning stars began. Join it. And be part of continuing to sing this song, to unfold the story that is heading somewhere. And Exodus connects us. It connects us with what has gone before and what will come. And in this story, in Exodus, we get a glimpse of the sword of God that is calling us to serve him. What kind of God is part of this story? It's the same kind of God that it wants to be part of our stories as well. He writes the theme tune and he sings the theme tune in the whole of life for eternity. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He straddles the whole of history, having written this amazing adventure that we get to be part of. And we join in right in the heart of where we are now, in this space, in the present, eager to serve him and to honor his call on our lives as well. And in this Exodus story, we will meet people who hear the song, who understand the story, and who keep it moving forward from one generation to the next. Psalm 145, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They take the story, they understand the song, and they keep it moving forward. This is the story of God, and it's the story we find ourselves in right now. And it's the story we help move on as God relentlessly turns the pages of history one life at a time, from Genesis to Revelation. And as the great philosopher Buzz Lightyear said, a bit more commitment than that. To infinity and beyond. Absolutely. Some of you need to watch Toy Story again. Come on. And the amazing thing about this story is that it leads us to Jesus. It's the story of our salvation. That's why it's so important that we read it, we understand it, we live it, we're part of it, and we carry it even further. See, the Exodus story isn't about escape. The Exodus story is about rescue. It's about how God rescues his people into the future that he longs for them to be part of. So this morning, one thing, three things. Here's the first one. Don't forget the story. Don't forget it. Now, as we read earlier, the Exodus story picks up from the end of Genesis. Jacob's family, you may remember his story. He's been rescued from death by Joseph. Joseph, who'd been sold into slavery to Egypt by all his brothers, he'd gone there, he'd become the second in command, he'd saved Egypt from famine, he'd come up with the plan through the dreams, and he was like the superstar in that place. And then his family come and beg him, without knowing who he is, for food because of the famine that has struck. And so eventually he makes himself known, and his family are delighted, and they become united again. And so that's what the beginning of Exodus is about. Here's the families. Here's the generations of Jacob and his sons and their families. And they became, what did it say, numerous. They filled the whole land. See, Joseph was part of God's rescue plan. He was there strategically put in that place because God's story was continuing to be unfolded. The generation died. And many would think that's where the story ends. That's another song, by the way, but anyway, I'll leave you to that one. But there's the generation died. Was that the end? Well, no, because the Israelites had increased exceedingly fruitful, multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and become so numerous that the land was filled with them. They had done exactly what God had invited them to do back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God said, be fruitful and increase in number. That was God's blessing to his creation right at the very beginning. And that is exactly what the nation had done. And they'd now become fruitful and definitely increased in numbers. That is God's blessing to his people. But his story keeps getting interrupted. That's the challenge when you read the Bible. There are moments when there's interruption. Back in Genesis 3, the interruption to the story was a crafty snake. It's like the adverts, isn't it? I mean, you hate the adverts, don't you, when they break a film or anything? I mean, they're awful, aren't they? This is like the adverts in the Bible. The crafty snake comes in and disrupts the story. And in Exodus chapter 1, who is it that disrupts the story? It's a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing. Now, I don't think that meant he didn't know Joseph. He'd be a fool not to know the story of Egypt and how Joseph had saved the people from the famine. That would be imprinted on his mind at school in history lessons. But Joseph meant nothing to him at that particular point. Both these deceivers, the snake and the king, wanted to stop the fulfillment of God's blessing, to stop the fruitful multiplication of God's story. But what we know is nothing can stop it. The new king ordered the Israelites to be oppressed. Verse 12 of chapter 1. Well, verse 11. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They continued to multiply. God's blessing continued. God will not let us forget his story. No matter what happens, God remembers, and God blesses those who remember this story as well. In Genesis chapter 8, the world is in chaos, but God's story is still being told. Because who does he call in Genesis chapter 8? He chooses Noah and his family when the world is in chaos. And he gets into the ark, the boat that he builds, because of the wickedness in the world, and God's plan to rescue his creation could not be stopped in that moment. Genesis 7, verse 24 says this: the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Why? The people had forgotten God. The people had forgotten the story. Pay attention. The writer of Genesis goes on to say, but God remembered Noah. But God remembered Noah. The people had forgotten God, but God remembered Noah. The next time you think God has forgotten you, there's a but God in the sentence. But God remembered Noah. The new king had forgotten God, was ignoring what Joseph had done to save Egypt, but God remembered the people, and the story goes on. Exodus 2, verse 23. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. But God came through when the story looked like it was going to finish. He had not forgotten. The story moves forward. And where does this story move forward to? It leads us to Jesus, doesn't it? Because God hadn't forgotten the promises he'd made to his people. He remembers that his promise never to leave us or forsake us. He remembers and asks for us to remember and respond. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Don't forget the story, will you? Remember what God has done, and remember what he's done in your life as well. Don't forget the story he's writing, the story he's written for you to follow. So let's not forget it, but also let's move the story forward, shall we? Let the story move forward from where we are. For Noah, God reminded them of the blessing. Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. We've heard that before. That's the initial blessing. Be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. And just to seal the deal, he gave us the rainbow. This was God's covenant, his deal. It wasn't a contract. It was a covenant. This is his initiative. He offered it to us as a sign of his love so the story could move forward. For Abraham, God reminded him of the blessing. Genesis 12, 2. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Now, Abraham forgot what God had promised him. We looked at this a little bit at the 9:30 service last Sunday. Abraham forgot God's promises, or he got fed up with waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled, and so he took it into his own hands to find an heir. God had promised him a son, but Abraham couldn't wait any longer. And then in Genesis 15, verse 5, God took Abraham out of his tent where he was moaning and groaning about it, and God said to him, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Abraham had lost perspective. He thought he was going to stop the story, but God wanted him to move it forward. I'm still going to bless you. There isn't an end yet to what it is that I've called you to do. And some of us may remember from the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Some of you look very bemused. Have you never sung that before? Have you never moved forward and backwards and side to side and up and down and then put your right leg and your left? Ah, Stephen, we're going to have to do something about that, I think, someday. That was God's promise, you see. It wasn't just about Abraham in that moment. It was about us as well. Galatians 3:29, Paul says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, his offspring, the result of the fulfillment of the blessing of God, and you are heirs according to the promise. The story is moving forward. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shipra and Pua, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. See, these midwives hadn't forgotten the story. The story that previous generations had kept alive, telling them from one generation to the next, commending the work of God. And they in that moment knew who God was and they feared him, not out of fear, but out because he was awesome and his deeds were great and he'd done amazing things. And so their allegiance was to God, not to Pharaoh. They hadn't forgotten the story, and now they were going to move this story forward because they weren't going to kill all the boys as they had been commanded. An amazing risk. But these two women kept the story moving forward. They were available. They were ready to fulfill God's purposes and God's plans. Even though they couldn't see the end of it, they knew the bit they were in, that liminal space, that present moment, that gift of God to make a decision in that moment. Am I going to bring the story to an end or am I going to help move it forward? See, they trusted that God would fulfill his promises and continue to give his blessing somehow, even if they couldn't see it in that moment. These women preserved the hope of God's promises and kept it going in the direction he wanted it to. And that brings me to the challenge today for me and for you. And the challenge is to get involved in the story. Not to just let the story happen, not just to remember it as some historical thing that's going on, but to be available for the part we get to play in it as well. Because then Pharaoh changed tactic. Now he wanted every baby boy thrown into the River Nile. But in that moment, God invited somebody else to step into the story. He invited Moses' mum to step into this story at great risk to herself. And you may know the story in Exodus chapter 2 when the mother put this baby, this 3-month baby called Moses, into a basket. In the footnote of the NIV, it says the word basket can also be translated ark as well, which is just an interesting thing. And so she launched her son off, not fully aware of what God was going to do next, but very much involved in the story. And then God used Pharaoh's daughter, the most unlikely of people, to become the rescuer so that the story could keep moving forward. Unbeknown to her, she was involved in the story God was telling. And I think that's God's invitation to all of us, to play our part in it. Not to just let it happen around us, not to enjoy what other people are doing in his name, but to be involved in it. The choices we make in those moments to join his plans and purposes, because the kind of God we meet in Exodus is the God who has plans and purposes for your life. And he sings this song waiting for you to hear it. And he has this story waiting for you to pick it up. The choices we make today are going to determine the part we play. That rhymed, didn't it? You could put that to music. The choices we make today will determine the part we play in the ongoing story that God's unfolding. We can ignore it. We can go our own way. We can do our own thing. We can live for the moment or just live for ourselves. That's perfectly all right. Except it's not. Because God has something bigger for you to be involved in. It's the story of God's blessing for all of God's people. And his story is still for us to be fruitful and increase in number. To tell this story, to help others to become part of it, to sing them a song and get them to join in. It's part of what he wants, this bigger, grander purpose. And if we can remember this time tomorrow, it will lead us to freedom in everything we do. But if we forget this time tomorrow, then we'll have the feeling of slavery, because what we're doing tomorrow may not seem to have any purpose. It will be a chore. It won't seem like it's heading anywhere. Remember, you were once a slave in Egypt. Remember, you were once a slave to sin. Remember, you once went away from God's best for your life. But remember that Jesus died on a cross so that you could be set free. The midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, they feared God. They understood how awesome he is. They were, if you like, the midwives of a revolution. And so the revolution started, and Moses begins his life as well. See, the good news about God is you can change the direction of your life at any moment. You can change the direction and join in with what God is doing. You have a part to play, whether you're the star or the hero or just a walk-on part. Because we're joining in the story with what God is already doing. So remember. Remember when you were the most junior person at work, just starting off. Remember how you were treated. Maybe you were treated badly. But maybe now you're in charge. And you have an opportunity to treat people differently from how you were treated. Or remember when you were a child. And maybe your parents did things that maybe hurt you, perhaps left emotional and perhaps even physical scars on you. And now you're a parent. And you have an opportunity to change the story you found yourself in. Or remember what it felt like to be misunderstood when you were going through a difficult time and no one seemed to care about what was happening to you. And now you meet someone facing the same issues that you did. Now you can come alongside them and show them real empathy towards them because you've been through it as well. Or remember when you maybe were bullied at school, maybe when you were laughed at for some physical characteristic, maybe you've been discriminated against for the color of your skin, maybe because of the place you live or the way that you speak. Well, now you can support and encourage and walk alongside others and lift them up and carry them to bring them hope and point them to a future. Now, how you were treated at whatever stage of life was totally wrong. But we can choose to respond to it by getting involved in writing God's story, in his best for our world, to sing his song so that others understand that there's a God who cares and who loves them and has a future planned for them as well. So let's remember. And let's know we're part of something much bigger. A God who redeems. A God who rescues. A God who lifts us up into a place where we can be confident and know his love at every step of the way. So if you want some homework this week, here it is. Why not take a moment this week to sit down and to map out your life story? Some of you will need a very thick book because it's been a long time. But why not just take a moment to map out your story and just highlight some of the things that have happened to you along the way? There might be some very tough things that have happened at certain stages. There will be joys happened at other stages in your life. And for those tough things that have happened, you take a moment. For those joys, you offer them back in praise. There'll be disappointments. There'll be moments when perhaps you were at a crossroads and now looking back, you may have taken the wrong path. But God redeems the years that the locusts have taken, doesn't he? Isn't that what the Bible says? And he leads you back to the place he wanted you to be in to rescue you, if you'll remember that he is part of this story. Map out those moments that have shaped you into the person you are today. And think about the story you tell yourself about what is on that page. Maybe there's regret that you carry at some of those things. Maybe there's shame that you have because of some of those things. Maybe you carry blame. Maybe others have blamed you, or you carry blame yourself for the things you couldn't control. But maybe you celebrate at the moments when you've excelled, but you haven't celebrated enough. Maybe you haven't had enough joy at the decisions you made that enabled you to flourish. But when you've done that, see where God's been in your story. See the moments where God has been part of it. And you'll begin to see that this story of your life is going somewhere as well. Because he remembers that we are dust. He remembers that he called us to be part of this ongoing story. And he has plans and purposes for you, because he is a God who has plans and purposes for people just like us. Not only for Moses, but people like you and me. He knows our name, and he longs for us to continue to fulfill the blessing that he has in store, that takes us to Revelation and beyond, into his eternity. He has a good and pleasing and perfect plan for your life. He still does. And he wants you to get involved in this story, because it's heading somewhere good. Let's pray together this morning. We're going to sing together as well, as we reflect on those words. Father, we thank you for your abounding love for us. Thank you that your love is so high, so deep, so wide and so long, that we can always experience it wherever we are. Thank you that you are with us, that you are for us. And thank you that you have good and pleasing and perfect plans for us. And so in this moment, we remember you with thanks. We remember the promises that you've made to us. We remember the times when we've seen your hand at work on us and in us and through us. And we commit ourselves today to never forget this story, and to be available to you for your plans, your purposes, to use us in this life. Holy Spirit, will you come and pour out your love into our hearts? Will you bring healing to those places that are hurting? Will you bring hope to those places where we've given up? And will you bring joy to those places where we are excited to be involved in what your call is on our lives? Thank you that you never forget us. Mention our name now. Whisper our name. May we hear your song. We praise you, Lord. Amen.